Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm excited for the word that the Lord has given me for us. This morning, I can guarantee you that I never come to the pulpit, I'm sure Pastor Randy feels the same way, never come to the pulpit with a message that has not been infused in my bones and have been wrestled with within my own life. And so this morning, what we're going to talk about is a faith that follows through, amen? And so this is a little bit of a pokey message, a little bit of a pokey message. So if you have sensitive toes this morning, put on your spiritual steel-toed boots. But I can guarantee you that we're going to be edified and strengthened because we're going to preach the Word of God, and we're going to go through it together. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Hear the word of the Lord. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no works? Can faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing to meet their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without works is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did and when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Hear this, church. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that in these moments, Lord, that you would till the hearts of our, the soil of our hearts, Lord, to receive good seed in good soil. Father, I pray for clarity and boldness, grace and compassion. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, that your words be spoken only in these moments. Lord, we have come to honor you, and we need you. Equip us, Lord, to do what you have placed in our hearts from the foundations of the earth. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We find ourselves in James chapter 2 with James, who is the father of the Jerusalem church. He is stepping into his position and his authority as a father, rebuking and correcting those who are entrusted to him with the same type of conviction that he has within him, that will bring transformation to a people and a community. I use two words there that we don't use very often in our culture. They're called rebuking and correcting. Those are pokey words in our culture, aren't they? We don't like to hear those very much. One time I was at seminary, and we were talking about things that we were seeing in the world, and I brought up that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, right, Paul is telling his son Timothy to fulfill his ministry and to rebuke and correct and restore. And there was a young lady that was in my class, and she looked over at me, and she said, I don't like that language. And I looked at her and said, well, I didn't say it. You know, that's of the Lord. Jesus said it through Paul. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. There's going to be a little bit of rebuking. There's going to be some correcting. But it is with the heart of restoring the bride of Christ. Amen. And so there are many of us that have had a lot of people and a lot of things entrusted to us. And within that entrusting, within that authority and that position that you have as a mother and a father and a supervisor or even a coworker and a friend, there will be times when you need to rebuke. You're going to have to see something that is out of alignment and call it out. But you're also going to have to stay long enough to bring the correction, to turn the tide, to bring the repentance, and walk with that person through the end of restoration. Amen? That's what we're about. The Lord walks with us through restoration, and so does the church with the body of Christ. And so what do fathers do? They do three things. They can do a lot of things, but there are these three things that are assigned and kind of woven into our mantle. The first thing they do is protect. The second thing they do is provide. And the third thing they do is promote. And how do they do this? They do this, hear this, fathers, they do this physically, emotionally, and spiritually on all levels. With our wives, with our children, co-workers, with our friends, and within our relationships. When I talk about protecting, I'm talking about guarding, surrounding, and I'm also talking about equipping. What better way to protect someone than to teach them the principles of how to protect themselves? Amen? I have children that have been entrusted to me, spiritual children and natural children that have been entrusted under my care. And Heather and I have preached this for a generation, over 11 years of youth ministry, and now the last 2 years as an associate pastor, that our responsibility with our children is to keep our fire strong and warm so that our children can sit around that fire and they can stay warm and comforted and protected. But our other responsibility is to teach them and to impart in them the grace and the understanding that one day they will have to build their own fire. Amen? And so when we talk about protecting one another, we need to equip them with the tools, the next generation, with the tools so that they can, by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, have that same protection. When we talk about providing, here's what we're talking about: meeting the basic and extensive needs of those that have been entrusted to us. There are times where my children need comfort. There are times they need affirmation. There are times when they need shelter over their heads. They need food in their bellies. There are times when those needs are big and wide and long and deep. But the job of, and the responsibility of a father is to provide. The third and last but not least is to promote. That is when we call out the gold that we see in those that have been entrusted to us. You know, a father knows how to access and withdraw what they see in their children. I would encourage you with these words. This faith that we incline ourselves to is more than a moral understanding, isn't it? If a moral understanding was enough, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have had it all together, and they would not have missed or crucified Jesus. Christianity is an intensively cool, and it proves itself as by turning internal understanding into an external obedience. It's more than just gaining knowledge. It's more than just memorizing scripture. It's about not only memorizing it, but in embroidering it on our heart so that not only do we have faith and have understanding, but our feet move because of what we've received. And right now, church, we are living in some days where the church not only needs to stand, but it needs to move. Amen? We need a faith that follows through. Faith without works is dead. It is lifeless. It is self-centered. It is self-seeking. It is like the Dead Sea. Why is it like the Dead Sea? Because everything is flowing in, but nothing's coming out. I pray that we never experience seasons like this. We give out of what we have freely received, amen? But faith with works, it is full of life, multiplying. It is community. It is the church. Faith with works is faith with obedience. How many of you know he wants your yes? He doesn't just want you to hear him. He wants your feet to follow him, amen? And it says in Scripture that obedience is greater than sacrifice. Some of us grew up in these religious structures where we believed that if we checked the box and we memorized enough scriptures and we paid enough tithe that we were doing our part. Can I just tell you that those are good things? But the Lord is calling us to deeper obedience in these seasons, in these days. The Lord is calling us to put our faith into action, to have it follow through with what we have experienced by grace, by the Son of Jesus, by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? If we had a memory verse this week like Pastor Randy would have, I would say verse 22 would be it. He says, you see that his faith, he's talking about Abraham, and his actions are working together. Look at your neighbor and say, working together. How many of you know that that's what happens within the faith? Things have to work together. There has to be unity. There has to be synergy. Things work together. And it says that his faith was made complete by what he did. Faith moves us into action. Hear me, church. Hear me on this. In fact, I would have you write it in your Bibles, on your forehead, in your phone, whatever you need to do to remember this. The days of playing church are over. Do you hear that? The days of playing church are over. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is coming soon. And for some of us, that's a scary thought. And for some of us, we can't wait. But we need to understand the truth. The prophetic timetable, the prophetic signpost of all eternity, of the rapture of his second coming, has always been Israel. Watch Israel. See what's happening in Israel. And I can tell you, everything happening has been predicted thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. We are living in some days, church. It's time for us to get serious about the Lord's business. It's time for us to be the church that God planted here on at 1504 Bedford Street that was built on faith and love. Amen? And it's time for us to activate the faith that's within us and let it move our feet forward, not so that we can gather together and worship. We already do that pretty well. We need to get out of the building and get into the streets exactly as Jesus did and start to gather around our friends and our family and those that we don't even know and express to them what we have received so freely in the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. We're living in some days. Jesus is, I want you to write this down because it's not in your notes. Money is a great servant, but it is a terrible master. It's going to get quiet up in here. Money is a great servant, but is a terrible master. We're going to preach on money this morning. And I'm going to preach on money because James is talking about the influence of money and how we treat people with favoritism. And Jesus preached on money all of the time, didn't he? He talked about a who wouldn't give up what didn't belong to him in the first place and follow him. We see throughout Scripture stats because of money and because of wealth and because of objects and things and treasures that we've garnered here upon the earth. I want to remind you this morning that he is worthy of it all because it all belongs to him. And it belongs to him alone because it comes from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. So why would I ever do this? Why would I ever withhold anything from the one who has given me everything? Money, time, children, relationships, whatever it is, why would I ever withhold anything from the one who's given me everything? Can I just remind you this morning that how I steward my money says a lot about what I believe about God and Jesus. I could list pages and pages of scripture references. I'm going to give you a few. In Philippians 4:19, I want to encourage you that he promises that he will supply all of our needs in Christ Jesus. In Matthew 6:24, he says that we cannot serve two masters, God and money. In Matthew 6:21, he says the love of money, actually, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. In 1 Timothy 6:10, he says the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all types of evil. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, so let one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or by necessity, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. Giving is serious business unto the Lord, and it should be very serious to us as well. In Malachi 3:10, the Lord is actually speaking through the prophet, and he's actually kind of going against one of his prior laws or commandments. If you remember when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted by the devil, Jesus says these words to the devil, that the word of God says, do not test the Lord your God, right? Well, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe. Look at your neighbor and say, whole tithe. Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. The one who says, do not test the Lord your God, loves you so much, and he's so secure and faithful in who he is and his character that he says, test me in this. Bring just a tenth, one that's 10%. That's a tithe, right? The first tithe. Bring it into my storehouse and test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour a blessing that there will not be enough room for you to store it. I don't know about you, but that's a good word, amen? Why would we ever withhold anything from him? It all belongs to him anyway, amen? Tithing is not an Old Testament thing. It's not an Old Covenant thing. It's actually pre-law. It was before the law. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, I want to just encourage you this week, take your notes and go study them. If something I'm saying is not in Scripture, let's talk about it. But Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. He paid a tenth, and he paid the first tenth. Why would he pay the first tenth? Because that's the best tenth. How easy would it be if Jesus only required me, if I had a field full of 100 lambs, and he said, give me 10 of them, Jeremy. If I went around and I picked all the ones that had crossed eyes and messed up teeth, right? If I just picked the ones that no one else wanted, right? The ones that were puny, that had nothing to gain from. No, he says, give me your best lamb. Why would the Lord require my best lamb? Because he gave his best lamb for you. Jesus, the best lamb. We absolutely get it. You and shaping you to prepare to serve. We have a lot of needs. And in a church this size, we shouldn't have as many needs as we have. We need to fill that nursery. We cannot have a church that doesn't have a nursery. And I know what it's like to have to serve in the nursery. And I know what it's like to come to the service before the service that you attend so that you can serve those that you don't worship with. I told you it's going to get pokey in here, but I preached the same sermon to them up there. I did. We have always focused and prioritized the next generation. The workers are few. The youth ministry needs volunteers. The kids ministry needs volunteers. The nursery needs filled. We need people to work sound, tech. Josh is running out of worshipers. I know you all can worship. I don't know if you can sing, but you can worship, right? All of us have a grace, and that grace needs to come back to the source. Amen? And I hear a lot of times, this is what I hear a lot in this church. Well, I don't know that service. I don't know the second service. I don't know the first service. You know the best way to know them is serve them. Serve them. They're great people. I told them the same thing about you. They're great people. Get here early on a Sunday morning. And you know what? If we have enough people that come, you might only have to serve once a month or once every 6 weeks. And for some of these things, you're going to have a background check for, because our responsibility and our priority is to guard the hearts of our children. And so whatever that process is, just go through the process. But we need you. We need you. It's not enough to consume. It's not enough to sit and receive. It's not enough to come and be inspired. It's time to give. It's not about what can I receive. It's about what can I give. Amen? And the Lord has given us good gifts. So there's photography on here, visitation. You know, we have shut-ins that can't make it here. You know, we just revitalized that team, and I have a group of three ladies, and they gave me a piece of paper today. They visited all of them last week, like 15 of them. in 1 week. What a blessing. One person can't do that. Photography team, some of you guys, Erin takes all the pictures. Right? She don't mind. But you know what? Give her a week off. Because there are things that we need to promote online and through Facebook. You guys follow our Facebook feed. Dave and Josh and Erin do a wonderful job. We are ministering throughout the week on Facebook over and over and over again. But if we have material and we can pull your gift in. So I want you to prayerfully consider this. Outside of both of the doors as you leave this morning, there should be a basket. All right? And I want you to prayerfully, it just says, give us your name and give us a contact. It could be a cell phone number, an email, or whatever. And I want you just to pick two. Two. Some of you want five because you're Marthas, right? Martha wants to do everything, all right? No, two. Because when you pick two, what you're doing is you're leaving space for someone else to pick theirs. Okay? If you hear me, say, uh-huh. Is that good? This is the type of church that we need to be. We've always been. COVID hit us pretty hard with our volunteers. Well, COVID's over, and Jesus is coming. It's time to get to work. All right? I love you. I'll stay off the accelerator on that point. All right? We'll move to the next one. All right? A faith that follows through, number three, loves unconditionally. Loves unconditionally. The greatest supernatural manifestation of our faith is experienced in how we love others as an overflow of the love that we have received by the grace of God. His grace compels us to love one another, and sometimes that love can look different. Sometimes it's a hug, sometimes it's a kiss, sometimes it's compassion or truth-telling, sometimes it's accountability. That's one thing I loved about the Global Methodist Church in our annual conference last week. You know what? It wasn't about, you know, hooray, we got out. It was, hey, my heart is hurting, let's get to an altar of prayer and start loving again. Altar calls full every single service as we sought the Lord to heal us and to bring us into the fullness of his love. Amen? It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about who's being obedient. And God calls us to have right relationships with our brothers and our sisters. Sometimes it's hearing someone. Sometimes it's seeing their needs. Sometimes it's sacrificing. Sometimes it's inviting. But it's always unconditional. James talks about this royal law. This royal law is the law of loving your neighbor as yourself. James calls it the royal law because whatever is decreed by the king, who is Jesus, amen, it's mandated as such within his kingdom. And so this royal law isn't a suggestion, but it's a declaration and a decree worthy of Christ's kingdom to love because he first loved us, amen. So James is like, my brother said it, he's the king, he's the Messiah, he's seated on the throne next to the Father in heaven, and he said, love your neighbor as yourself, and we're going to do it. And can I tell you that that's unconditional because all lives matter, amen? From the womb to the grave, every life matters. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, amen? Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, as we've watched things unfold in the Middle East, my continual prayer has been, two and threefold. Number one, Lord, what do you say about this? How would you have us pray? Here's what I think the Lord would have us pray. Have us pray that every Muslim and Islamic believer would have dreams and visions of the man in the white robe. That does not excuse or relent of consequences for evil decisions. But I believe that Jesus had one word to say to Hamas. That word would be come. Am I right? If you don't believe me, ask the thief on the cross who didn't go to a church service, who didn't raise his hand in worship, who wasn't a member, never fasted, never paid tithe, but Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. come. That doesn't excuse what we've watched. But that's what makes us different. Amen? We don't celebrate the loss of life. We celebrate the restoration of life, the transformation of life. Jesus says, come. Faith that follows through loves like Jesus and loves what Jesus loves, because love is our lane. What does that look like? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we and other people are pretty hard to love, aren't they? Sometimes I'm hard to love. Here's what I think it means. Love them. The best you know how to love, love them. And what that means is withhold nothing from them that you are asked to give. Because I don't know how many times those that I'm offended with, I'm frustrated with, I'm discouraged with, the Lord asked me to give something to them. And because I'm sometimes a passive-aggressive Christian, all right, everybody raise their hand, because that's you too, right? We all get there. We stand on our soapbox. Instead of his righteousness, we're self-righteous, and we start to be passive-aggressive, and we start to withhold the grace that we need for ourselves. But that is not the absence of discernment. Discernment is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's when we come to a spiritual conclusion or a decision. And there are times, hear me, where you will have to discern a sheep and a wolf. There are times where you're going to have to look at the tree and say, hey, is it producing good fruit? Should I be partaking of that fruit system? Because that usually means that root system is corrupt. How do we do this? We do it in the process of the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's abiding. That's remaining. The more we're with him, the more we look like him. Amen? And then loving your neighbor as yourself. See, we forget that. You can't give what you haven't received, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, if you don't rebuke yourself, if you don't govern yourself, you know what? You'll be doing all the above in the flesh. How do I know this? Because I hear this all the time. Scripture misquoted. You probably see it on Facebook later today, right? Don't judge me. I think Tupac said that, right? Well, Matthew, through the power of the Holy Spirit, said this. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. All right, that lines up. But hear this. You got to keep reading sometimes, church. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure, that's the key word, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What does that mean? If you want to gossip, if you want to criticize, if you want to withdraw, if you want to be passive aggressive, just coming back. Because what's the principle? You reap what you sow, right? Moving on. Why do you look at the speck in the sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly the speck that is in your brother's eye. What is that? That's as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not willing to impart the same governance or idea or conviction that I'm not willing to submit myself under myself, right? And so we have a world that's looking at the church, and we got stuff all up in our eyes. And they're saying, why are you looking at me? You look pretty hypocritical. It's time, church. As ourselves, love them as we love ourselves. It's time to clear our vision. It's time to withdraw judgment. Judgment happens whenever we look at something and we have to make a decision, a discerning decision, with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, right, and the wisdom that is given to us by God. We already talked about that. He gives wisdom without judgment. But we need to handle our own stuff first. And so we are out of our lane and our pay grade when we do these three things. Listen to me. Don't lose me. I got like 3 minutes. I'm going to do my best. All right. Somebody say amen. All right. Number one, we're out of our pay grade and out of our grace when we do these three things. When we condemn, it's above your pay grade to condemn anybody. Because you're saying that Jesus can't work there. And you're wrong. All right? Condemnation is when we pronounce a verdict outside of redemption. If we pronounce a verdict outside of God's redemption, then we're condemning. Second is when we start to separate sheep from goats, wheat from weeds. All right? Scripture's very clear about that. You have no idea how to judge eternity. You know what? Just abide in Jesus and love people into eternity. Number three, we're wrong when we weigh sin. When we start to weigh sin. Here's what we need to know about sin. Sin separates us. All of it. It creates a chasm on my end, not his, all right? But also know this, some sin may carry a heavier consequence than others here upon the earth. And so what happens is we apply that same metric system to the kingdom of heaven. That's outside of our pay grade. If you just worry about sin and you come to the conclusion that it's separation and I have conviction that I don't want separation, then you're in good shape. Quit worrying about the weight of it. He'll do that. He's a righteous judge. He has balance scales. Amen? And I want you to hear this. I'm going to end with this. Grace bridges the gap between us and him. Every time. Unconditionally. He is good. He is faithful. As our worship team comes and we prepare to close, I want to encourage you, take these. If you need to take them home, bring them in. Don't forget them. We need all of you. I'm looking for 100%. 100%. But also, I want you to hear this. I love you. I love you. I love every single one of you. And I love what's on this house. And I love the assignment that God has given us. And I believe that Haggai 2:9 is a scripture verse that's going to resonate as a scarlet thread through the foundations of our house and our ministry, where it says, the greater days of this house have yet to come. And we've had some wonderful days. You would not be here if we had not had some wonderful days. But I believe that we are sitting in a time. We are in a Kairos moment. That's where heaven intersects earth. And I believe the Lord is calling each and every one of us to put our faith to our feet and move, trusting that he can use us immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Shall we stand? I finished in 3 minutes. You saw a miracle this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that you would prepare us to respond to your word. Lord, build your church. Build your church here in Johnstown, as it is in heaven, here in Oakland, as it is in heaven, here in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, as it is in heaven. Father, Lord, I pray that we would have faith that follows through. I pray, Father, Lord, that we would lay down offenses and unforgiveness. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would not be comfortable in your presence, but we would be convicted, Lord, to move. May we be that church. Reckless love, freely giving, sacrificially serving in your mercy and in your grace. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.